Ask and it is given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show is recorded in San Rafael, California in 2001.
You've reached the place where a fantastic new desire has been born. It has not yet been actualized. You're not quite yet living it. You have a whiff of it. The desire is clear within you, and you're still really all right with that, yes? When you get to the place that you can, without any wavering, answer yes to that question, then you have it. Then you understand the process for deliberate creating. For when your desire has not yet been manifested, which means you're not driving it yet, or you're not living with him yet, or you haven't moved into it yet, or you have not yet added it to the balance in your account yet, and you are standing in a place of satisfied eagerness, then the alignment of energy within you is sufficient to allow a swift receiving of that which you are wanting. But if the desire sort of tortures you, if once you've identified that you want it, when you think about it, you're uneasy, then that is an indicator that the vibration of your desire and the vibration of your belief or your normal thoughts about the subject are not in sync. And so you are resisting it rather than allowing it for now. Everything is about vibration, isn't it? Such an interesting thing. And fortunately, you have this wonderful emotional guidance system within you, which helps you to read your vibrational content. Everything is vibrating. And so when you want something, that desire has a vibrational mood. And when you think about it, you have a vibrational mood. So if what you want feels hard to you, or unreasonable to you, or illogical to you, if you have not figured out how you're going to make it happen, or when it's going to come, or who's going to bring it, or how. In other words, those questions of who and what and where and when sort of trip you up, because when you don't have answers to those questions, then you often feel uneasy. And that uneasy feeling is your indicator that your mood or attitude or belief or habit of thought or vibration relative to your desire is not where you're wanting it to be, not where it needs to be in order for you to have the actualization or manifestation. So you see, there is the asking, and there is the answering, and then there is the allowing. Three parts to the process. It's a much easier way to approach it. When we talk about science of deliberate creation, you all get that look on your face, that determined human, I'm going to make this happen look. And we like you to be determined. We like it when you identify what you like. We like it when you make many decisions in a day. We adore this time-space reality that gives birth to desire within you. We think that is perfect. But we want you to discover the deliciousness of the receiving mode, because it is what is natural to you. So the three points are: one, ask. You can't help but do that. Two, answer. That's not your job. Source energy answers. Three, is your job. It is the most important job. It's what we're talking about here all day today, job. It is the letting it in. So there is asking, there is answering, and then there is your work, which is allowing. So you ask, source energy answers, and you've got two choices. You can allow or resist. You can receive or not receive. You can let it in or not let it in. You can feel good or bad. Good feels good. Bad feels bad. You laugh. We hear you laughing. And yet many of you, many times every day, still are stuck on the idea that struggle and sacrifice and the discomfort of much too hard of work will get you to where you want to be. If you want something and you believe that hard work is required and you offer hard work, there is a certain amount of alignment in that. More alignment, in fact, than if you want something and believe that hard work is required and don't offer the hard work. So the way you've been playing it is you want something, you believe that hard work and struggle is required. You offer the hard work and struggle, but you resent it a little bit, so you're really not lined up. Or you lay on the beach and feel guilty and you're not lined up. And you say, I can't win. And we say, not that way you can't. The way you win is by getting into sync with the laws of the universe. And when you understand that the laws of the universe say that which is likened to itself is drawn, then in your attitude of struggle or pain, you are not a vibrational match to the joyful life experience that you are wanting. Good. You're hearing all of that very clearly. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important to you. We will assist you in recognizing as we are chatting together whether in your discussion you are locked on or locked off your signal. In other words, the greatest benefit that we can offer you is by helping you to be consciously aware of your receiving mode, because that's the only thing that matters. We want to call your attention to something that many of you are missing. Even those who have been studying this science of deliberate creation for a number of years. The asking and the receiving usually don't happen in this red hot moment. There is usually an asking mode and a receiving mode. And often, after contrast has stirred you to some powerful desire, in the awareness of that desire, especially in the beginning of your awareness of it, you're often not a vibrational match to it. In other words, you hear us say, you never know that you want more closets than when you don't have enough closets. So there you are in your too small of closet, trying to find something, pawing through. You know it's in here somewhere. And in that frustration, it just shoots out of you. I want a bigger closet. But in that moment of frustration, you're not in the receiving mode of the bigger closet. And what we noticed with so many of you is that the majority of attention that you give to your desire is in that frustration mode of knowing that it isn't. In other words, in your loneliness, you desire a relationship. But every time you think about a relationship, you feel lonely. Or when you go to pay your bills and there's not enough money, you really want more money. But in your fear or discomfort about not enough money, you're not a vibrational match to more money. So here's what we want you to hear in this. Launch your desires all day long as you are. Don't worry about that process. It happens naturally. But then every chance you get, let your dominant intent be to be in the receiving mode, which means today, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm doing it with, it is my dominant intent to look for that which makes me feel good. To look for that, whether I'm exploring past, present, or future, let me look for those things that make me feel good. Some of you are hitting this process of deliberate creation so head on that you are determined that you're going to make it happen. And when you are determined that you're going to make it happen, you are usually so aware that it isn't happening. And that's why you've gotten very determined about it, that you're holding yourself in a place of not allowing. So here's what we really want you to hear. You're launching rockets of desire all day, every day. And then if you were dangling your feet in the ocean and happy doing it, you'd be in the receiving mode. Or if you are basking, you're in the receiving mode, in the allowing mode. Or if you're petting your cat and enjoying it half as much as the cat does, you're in the receiving mode. In other words, what we're saying to you is, you don't have to work so tenaciously at this process of deliberate creation as you've been thinking, but you do have to spend more time in the receiving mode. This friend that we were telling you about, who was so frustrated that we were telling her that she must be doing that thing she does, she said, Well, how many times a day do you think I'm doing that thing? And we said, 2,000 maybe. On a good day. On a day where you're out and about, observing, interacting. 2,000 times, she could not believe it. We said, well, don't worry so much about that. In 2,000 times of negative emotion, which is doing that thing you do that's not letting it in, if 200 of those times, just 10%, you are aware you have negative emotion, and you stop in awareness that you have negative emotion, and just stopping in awareness that you have negative emotion diffuses it right there, that's powerful motion forward. And if 10% of those times you're actually able to take the thought and move it to a better feeling place, you've had a very good day. It takes far less than most of you realize once you are consciously aware of your vibrational output to begin to outputting more in harmony with who you really are. It's not difficult. And because law of attraction is working so powerfully around you and through you and in and out of you every day, then the slightest little adjustment in your vibration brings different manifestations. And those different manifestations give you something more positive to view. And so the better it gets, 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 the easier it gets, the easier it gets, the easier it gets. And the more sensitive you get, the more sensitive you get, the more sensitive you get, so that you catch yourself in the more early subtle stages, so that you are more of the time in the allowing mode, which means the things that you've been asking for all along begin to flow powerfully into your experience. And then those who don't understand anything about vibration or about law of attraction look at you and say, what is your magic? Your life goes so well. We want to say to you that you could never hear a word of any of this. You could be totally unaware of law of attraction. You could be totally unaware of the power of your emotion. You could be totally unaware of letting it in or not letting it in. You could be totally unaware of Abraham or any other conversation about any kind of source energy. And you could have had a grandmother who at an early age said to you, appreciation is the key to life. Look for things to appreciate. And you could have started out as a youngster looking for things to appreciate, and you would be today the most powerful allower on the planet. In other words, you don't have to know any of this. You just have to want to feel good and be willing to choose the thought that does. There is such extraordinary freedom. In fact, it's the only freedom that we know. In discovering that you can feel the way you choose to feel because you can turn your attention to that which you want to turn your attention. So many of our physical friends, when they see something that makes them feel good, they feel good. But when they see something that makes them feel bad, they feel bad. So then they believe that they have to control the conditions so that they can feel better. Let's pass laws, let's enforce them, let's lock up people who disobey them, let's make other countries agree with us, let's get all religions to agree with us. And we don't know if any of you have noticed, but it's not working out very well for you. In other words, it's hard to get them to conform, no matter how strong your force becomes. And so what you discover is that this universe was not established in order to find a few good ideas and then enforce them around the universe. This universe is a universe of variety and diversity. That's where its strength and future lies, is in the variety which gives birth to the new idea. And it is a wonderful environment because every consciousness that is focused gets to choose what it prefers. Source energy answers immediately and has the ability to do so. And then, if you are in the allowing, receiving mode, then you receive the benefit of that which you are wanting. And the truest freedom is when you discover that no one else has to change anything that they are doing in order for you to feel joyous. And when you discover that, then you have truly become an allower. We are pleased that you have joined us in this Art of Allowing gathering. We are eager to talk with you. You are ready to begin. You'll discover that there are some who will ask your question even better than you. And you remember what we were saying earlier about how you are rarely in the mode of asking and receiving at the same time. So since you are rarely in the mode of asking and receiving at the same time, often if somebody else is asking your question, there's a much better opportunity for you to receive it. So since we are aware of what every one of you is wanting, and since we are aware of how the best way of helping you receive it is, we are anticipating a powerful, dynamic unfolding. And we expect that together we will take thought beyond that which it has ever been before. It is truly co-creating at its best. You're ready to begin? There you are.
Yeah, hi. My wife and I have a 15-month-old little girl who is just a juggernaut of love and positive energy. My wife has given me some articles on the evils of vaccinations and how we shouldn't give her any shots. And so we are kind of on the opposite ends of this. A long time ago, I heard you say something to the effect that we should acknowledge and really appreciate the technology of our times. And that really rings true with me. Where I'm going with this is that it's okay for me to be in disagreement with my wife about this, and more likely than not, she'll get what she wants in the situation. I just don't want both of us coming from a place of fear about this. Because when I look at my little girl, that is so foreign to me to want to come from a place of fear. And so I'm looking for some insight about how I should approach this with my wife and how I should approach this with my daughter.
This is a very good topic because it's the topic of two people who love each other having different opinions about the same subject and both wanting the universe to yield to them. When you think about what it is that both of you want the universe to yield to you, you are in absolute agreement. When you think about the process through which it will come, that's where you get a little bit out of sync. In other words, both of you unquestionably want what is the best thing for your little one. And so you've heard us say on a number of occasions that the action is not significant. It's how you feel about the action that is significant. So, if you were to say to us, well, is the vaccination right or wrong? We would say, it is not either of those. You've heard us say that on the subject of wanting to be slender, if you want to be slender and you see that big dripping with good stuff donut and you believe that that donut is not a vibrational match to being slender, and you eat it, now you're out of sync. If you don't eat it, your deprivation keeps you from being in alignment. And if you do eat it, your guilt keeps you from being in alignment. And in either case, you're not lined up with what you want. So the action really was irrelevant. So it wasn't about the donut, was it? It was about the alignment. It's not about the vaccination either. It's about the alignment. So you say, yes, but relative to the donut, it's more between me and me. Mm-hmm. In other words, my wife is not really all that aware that I'm eating this donut. But in this situation, it seems like it's more than just me getting in alignment. It seems like we both need to get in alignment. When you said she will more than likely get her way, what you're saying is, what matters most to me is being in alignment. And I've discovered in this co-creative experience that nothing is really all that important to me to be out of alignment. And so I'm sort of a yielder. It doesn't mean that I don't have preferences and decisions, but it's easy for me to stay in alignment. And so we would say, in feeling the vibrations around this subject, that it is much more likely for your family to be in alignment by going the way that your mate wants. And she does not want the vaccinations, you say. So if she does not want the vaccination and you get in alignment with that, then the alignment is made. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many that are saying, but Abraham, what is the real truth about the vaccination? and we say, there is no real truth about the vaccination or about the donut or about anything that is outside the individual alignment of energy, you see. Mm-hmm. So the dominant thing that we can imagine that could ever put your little one out of alignment is if her parents are out of alignment.
Right.
And so as you don't let things be an issue that cause the two of you to be out of alignment with each other, then the satisfying harmony of your home is the nucleus that will allow her to be in alignment, you see. Mm-hmm. And one more thing. Your physical body is like a veritable chemical factory, and everything that it requires, it has the ability to produce. So as the cells within your body are reaching for whatever they are wanting, source energy is yielding, and your body has the ability to receive it. And so we would not make the vaccinations a big issue either.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
I think this is related, but is there any difference between feels good now and feel good long-term? In other words, it seems to me like there are some behaviors, somehow we don't get into sex very much here, which surprises me, but it seems to me like I have friends who get into relationships and immediately get sexually involved, which feels good. I mean, it just feels great, but then they find they've kind of developed almost a bond that's not real, or I don't, that's when I'm, is it real and that something else just messes it up, or are there ways that you
Well, we think what's happening there, the sexual bond or the sexual desire is a very big one. It's innate within you. In other words, you were born with this powerful desire to continue to evolve. That sexual desire is right up there with the desire for water or the desire for food. It's a very inherent desire within. So we think that what happens sometimes is that the individual has an incomplete awareness of what they are wanting or allowing. And by that we mean the sexual desire is a very strong one, something that they think about a lot, something that they like, so something that they do let in. But often they are not considering the other things that they desire as well. And so they let the sexual in before they've even identified. It's sort of like finding out that the house doesn't have enough closets after you've moved into the house, you see. And so...
But it does feel good. In other words, in the moment, it does feel good. So shouldn't that be something that they should do, even though it seems in the end, I guess...
Well, let us put it to you this way. If someone is having a sexual relationship with another, and they are singularly focused upon how good the sex is, so that they are not offering resistance, then through this relationship, all of the things that they've ever said that they want could be allowed. But they usually don't do that. They usually focus on how good the sex is while the sex is happening, and then they focus upon how burned the eggs are when the eggs are burned, or how unmade the bed is, or how unpleasant the conversation is, or what's wrong with your family. In other words, they focus upon all the other aspects. And so if there are a lot of aspects that are focal points that cause resistance, then the relationship is not a stable relationship. You could be with someone who has one, by your standard, really positive aspect, and in this case let's say it's the sexual aspect, and nine aspects that are really not to your liking. And if you were singularly focused upon the one aspect you like, so that relative to this relationship you are for the most part connected to source energy, you would elicit from the other only things that were pleasing to you. On the other hand, you could have a partner who had nine things that you really, really like, sex being one of them, and one thing that just makes you nutty. And as you focus upon that one thing that makes you nutty, you would destroy the relationship. And it's hard for people to hear that about something so up close and personal as a relationship, because most physical humans really believe that our relationship is the way it is because of something you're doing. So if it's good, I thank you for our good relationship. And if it's bad, I curse you for our bad relationship. But most people are not understanding that they are the letter in or not letter in of whatever they're getting. And so two people could want entirely different things. This one wants this, and this one wants this. And the universe has the ability to yield to both of them. But this one is looking over there and saying, I don't like that thing that you want. So this one is not in harmony with what he wants. And this one is saying, I don't like that thing you want, so she is not in harmony with what she wants. Now, neither one of them are letting in what they want, and they're both blaming each other.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
Thanks for listening to HayHouseRadio.com.
Here's a HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment read by Colette Baron Reed from her new book, Remembering the Future, The Path to Recovering Intuition, available now at HayHouse.com.
We're called many times to have courage in our lives, and often we pretend that we don't hear. Who will we be if we're no longer who we were? What then will we have to give up? What will we have to change? How can we hold on when what we know is gone and the future is still unseen? It takes great courage to experience the adventure of our complete selves, to look at ourselves with honesty. It requires courage to face our denial and stand naked in the light of our spirits, slowing down long enough to let life slam us, sometimes shattering our frantic lives so that we realize that running at lightning speed hasn't taken us very far. To gather all our fragile parts in our arms as we're called to the edge, after truth, faith, and humility have given us a clear vision, is a gift of this process. To be there at all is the beginning of knowing.
Hi, I'm Michael Neal, host of You Can Have What You Want. Have you signed up for the Hay House newsletter yet?
I'm Crystal Anderson. Have you signed up for the Hay House newsletter yet?
Keep up to date with all your favorite Hay House authors and radio hosts by signing up for the HayHouseRadio.com newsletter. You'll find out what's going on at HayHouseRadio.com and also be eligible for special contests and giveaways. It's free and easy to sign up, so what are you waiting for? Log on today at www.HayHouseRadio.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, and maybe you've heard my show, Flow Dreaming. I teach you about a powerful method for manifesting. And if you want to continue your learning, please visit flowdreaming.com. There you'll find articles, my book, and many guided Flow Dreaming CDs. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a free MP3 download. So continue your search for truth at flowdreaming.com.
Hi, what can I do for you today?
What if you don't exactly know what you want to do?
Oh my God, I heard that there were still people out there that didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with their life, but I didn't know you were real.
Join Michael Neal for You Can Have What You Want, Thursdays, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on HayHouseRadio.com.
What you do if you don't know what to do with your life, I think is the first thing is make it a smaller problem. Figure out what to do with the next 5 minutes.
By popular demand, Doreen Virtue has created a beautiful deck of cards based on her best-selling book, Archangels and Ascended Masters. The Ascended Masters Oracle cards includes gorgeous paintings of 44 male and female cross-cultural deities, a guidebook that gives explanations of each card's meaning, and a brief history of the particular Ascended Master. Pick up the Ascended Masters Oracle cards today at your local bookstore or visit angeltherapy.com.
Thank you for tuning into HayHouseRadio.com. You're listening to the best inspirational talk radio anywhere. We broadcast live, original shows 5 days a week that will give you new ideas for creating an abundant, successful, and joy-filled life. We hope you'll discover a few favorites, bookmark our site, and keep coming back for more of HayHouseRadio.com. Radio for your soul.
Book One by New York Times best-selling authors Esther and Jerry Hicks offers you a thoughtful and inspiring story of an inquisitive girl named Sarah and her teacher, an owl named Solomon. There's something in Sarah for any child, adult, or teen pursuing joy, meaning, and the answers to questions about life, death, and the heart's desires. Pick up Sarah Book One today at your local bookstore or visit HayHouse.com.
Your favorite psychics, mediums, and intuitives are hosting a cruise to the Eastern Caribbean, and they want you to come along. Spend 7 nights on the Intuitive Connections cruise this November, where you'll meet psychic Sonia Choquette, medium Gordon Smith, intuitive Colette Baron Reed, and psychic medium John Holland. Hear messages from your deceased loved ones, contact your celestial helpers, and get readings about your future. Space is limited. Call 888-259-9191 or visit HayHouse.com.
Join Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, Sylvia Brown, Doreen Virtue, Dr. Deepak Chopra, Dr. Christiane Northrup, and your favorite authors in one of the most exciting cities in the world, Las Vegas. It's the Empowering I Can Do It Weekend Conference on May 17th through 20th at the Sands Expo. Tickets start at only $75. Call 800-654-5126 or visit www.icandoit.net.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
My issue seems to be about health, particularly ill health. You said that the cells in your body can change quickly from a painful place to allowing and getting past that. I understand the process you're talking about. In some of my practice, there are things that bring me joy. Music, I play music, guitar, and I do art, and I love to play tennis. Those things bring me great, great joy. But because of where I've been in this pain, I can't even do it now. I hope to, by what you've told me and practice.
You can't play your guitar?
I can, but it makes things worse.
You can't do your art?
Some.
And you really can't play tennis?
I really can't play tennis.
And so what you're saying is there are things that connect me that
yes.
I want to do
yes.
that I'm not able to do because of where I'm at.
Right.
And so now
exactly.
What do I do?
Right.
And we say, what you do is you think about how you have done it, and you think about how you will do it again, and you don't think about how you can't do it now.
Okay.
In other words, you remember what felt good, and you imagine what will feel good,
mm-hmm.
and you acknowledge that it is on the way. Have you ever had an injury in your body that gave you grief for a while and improved?
With some help, some physical help, yes. I mean, last year it was this shoulder, and it's better, but I had physical therapy.
And so, anything on your own that you recall? In other words, anything.
An injury in my body.
Anything. A stiff muscle, a twisted bone in your foot.
Yes, some things do resolve.
A knee that was a little...
Some things do resolve on themselves.
All things do resolve themselves if allowed.
Okay.
All things do resolve themselves if allowed.
Okay.
All things do resolve themselves if allowed.
Well, the allowing is the difficulty, and
now
I'll work on that.
As you listen back to this recording, listen for locked-on statements and locked-off statements.
Okay.
And you are very truthful in your statement. In other words, you are careful to qualify things so that they are as you believe them to be.
Yes.
You say some things resolve themselves, and you believe that. And then when we say all things resolve themselves, you don't really believe that. You want to believe that,
but you don't really believe that.
You don't have your personal individual proof about it.
Right.
And so what you're wanting to do is find a way of acknowledging that all things resolve themselves and looking for evidence of that.
Yes.
Now, when you say some things resolve themselves, but not all do, then what happens is there's this sort of stubborn belief that says, well, I really don't believe that all things resolve themselves. And as you activate that vibration, then all kinds of people start showing up with unresolved things.
Right.
And it's sort of like, aha, I was right there. Aha,
right.
I was right,
right.
there. And
right.
so, and that's not the kind of evidence that you're wanting to attract. You're wanting to attract the evidence that says all things can resolve themselves. In other words, just keep reaching for softer and softer words. And so then we said, all things can resolve themselves if they are allowed. And then you said, but allowing is the hard part. locked off statement.
Okay.
Truthful statement,
yes.
But a locked off statement.
Yes.
And so now you're wanting to bridge that locked off statement by saying, well, I don't know how I've been disallowing it. I've been doing it without knowing I'm doing it. But now I am sort of aware that negative emotion means I'm doing it. And I'm going to start watching for those moments when I'm not allowing it. Because, oh, this is such a fantastic experience for you. You're asking with very strong, potent, focused asking. And source energy is answering in a very powerful way. So every little bit of allowing that you do is going to bring you greater and greater results, you see. When you ask your body to do something that you have not yet allowed it to do, then you feel that discomfort, and then you sort of recoil back from it, and you say, oh, it's worse than it was before. When you say, shoulder, I'm wanting you to come back into alignment, I'm wanting the inflammation to subside, and I'm wanting that pinching of that nerve to soften up a little bit, you're getting a little too specific. We are putting the words there, but that really is a little too specific.
Oh.
But that's sort of the sort of dialogue that's going on within
yes.
you. And so then you say, well, let me test it. Let me see how you're doing. Ah, and then you feel the discomfort. Comfort, it sets you back. It puts you in a place of expecting the opposite of what you're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say, don't test it. In other words, the physical therapy is a fine thing. And we understand that if you've lost the motion of something, that it's good to begin to move it again. We are not talking about stopping the therapy. But what we are encouraging you to do is slow it down a little bit. Give the cells of your body an opportunity to make their requests, and more importantly, give yourself the opportunity to receive what the universal forces are offering before you try to move it in that testing fashion.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we would say, if we were standing in your physical shoes, we'd lie on our bed every night and we would talk about the cells of our body and we would expect the recovery and we would feel the sensation of it and we would put ourselves in as much comfort as we could, as much as we can. In other words, we would not test it for about a week. And then after a week, we would make some soft, gentle motion with the intent of acknowledging progress. Our attitude would be, let me see my physical progress. And then we'd go another week of aligning energy, relaxing into the discomfort, talking to the cells, knowing that they're summoning, knowing that source energy is answering, taking pride in knowing that you're receiving and allowing, feeling the comfort of your bed, feeling the comfort of the moment, acknowledging in this moment I'm not doing anything that's causing any discomfort in my body. In this moment I feel perfectly comfortable. I feel such appreciation in this perfectly comfortable moment. I'm getting the hang of this allowing thing in this mode of distraction. Or in this mode of focused comfort, I'm in this place of appreciation, I'm in this place of allowing. We'd do that for a few days and then we'd say, and now let me see the evidence of my progress. In other words, we would do far more relaxing and allowing and far less testing with the physical.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Just for a little while. And uh-huh. before you know it, you will wonder what you were even talking about. Your
Glory
body
be.
Will be back into alignment, and it will be this distant memory where you sort of have memory of something like that happening, but you can't really get your thoughts around it because it is so long gone. So many people are convinced that their physical bodies are in a state, once you reach a certain stage of life, of steady decline. And it is amazing the amount of expectation in the human consciousness that is wrapped around that. And it is absolutely opposite of what you've intended, of what your cells know how to do, of what source energy is supplying. You do not need to decline as you move through time. It is only your negative expectation or your worrying about this and that and the other that pinches off the energy. In other words, you don't decline because your body wears out. You decline because over time you disallow more of the resources that keep you feeling good. That's all. Every single time. There are no exceptions to that, you see. Yes.
Yes. The belief will become stronger that all that There's doubt. All of us have doubt that...
Well, now, wait a minute. Did you tell us that your other shoulder was hurting?
Yes.
And then did you tell us it stopped hurting?
Yes.
Well,
okay.
What's up with that? In other words, how in the
I
world
had a lot
did
of help
that...
with it.
What you had was help that caused you to allow. In other words, when you want something and you believe that this process is necessary for the achievement of it and you offer the process, then you achieve it, you see. And so, are you not getting help on this other?
Yes.
When you say, I have this condition that comes over my body and I do not know how it got here, but it's here. please help me release it from my body. And you have assistance and someone helps you release it from your body. But you don't know how it got there to begin with. And so it comes again. In other words, it focuses through the crack of least resistance and happens again. Mm-hmm. The next time it happens, now there is a compounding thought that goes something like, well, things jump into me and I can get rid of them, but almost as soon as I get rid of them, something else jumps in. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest hindrance with the predominant philosophy around Western medicine, which says we'll find what's wrong and we'll deal with what's wrong. Because what happens is, no matter how it's dealt with, whether it's cut out or rubbed out or medicated out, there is this belief that now lies within you that expects another and another. We'll see someone go for an examination, fearful of what they might find, but believing that they have to go find it while it's small. And then it is found, something is found, and then it is cured. And the time of relief is minuscule. It is amazing because almost faster than the cure is found and the well-being is noted on the doctor's chart, the expectation for the next thing going wrong begins, you see. Mm-hmm. And you can't win in that process. In other words, because no matter how many cures there are, there's always going to be something else to be cured, you see. Mm-hmm. Until you finally get it, that well-being is the dominant stream, and that the only reason that anybody is not well is because they found thoughts that pinch off the wellness. And once you discover how to stop pinching off the wellness, then well-being exists within you forevermore.
Okay.
You see?
Okay.
Oh, it is such a far-reaching, satisfying. And then you reach this place. Esther said to Jerry the other night, they were having dinner somewhere and hearing a conversation next to them of someone who was very worried about health. And Esther said, I feel so joyful that I now have no fear relative to the subject of bodily conditions. She said, I remember when Abraham said, cancer will feel like mustard to you. Some put it on their hot dog and some don't. But it has about that much impact to you. Mustard and cancer feel about the same way to you. Mm-hmm. And Esther is saying, and now, one by one, all of those things that I worried about, history in my family or predominance on the planet, they're gone. In other words, little by little by little, I have convinced myself of the well-being of my physical body, and the relief is enormous. So that no longer when she turns on the television and sees the commercial where they are saying one out of five has it and you're probably the one, she has to shake her fist at the television. For a while it was a very personal thing. In other words, she didn't want them telling her that, and then it was more altruistic. She didn't want them telling other people that. In other words, now it's all right if they say it, because she understands that the reason that those people exist is because there are a lot of people that don't understand. It's all right. It just does not have to have anything to do with me. And you'll reach that place much sooner than you right now know.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. On the aisle. Yes, right here.
Hi there. The last time I spoke with you was Easter of 98 in Virginia Beach, and at that time I was having so much trouble walking because of multiple sclerosis, which is supposedly incurable.
Yes.
But I have cured myself and am able to walk without a cane. So I just
good to know, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's why I said that, because this woman and her shoulder, it will get better, because, you know, it just will.
All right, you're done.
Well, actually, I had my questions. And my first, they're two different topics. My first question is about relationships. I am looking for my soulmate. I know he's around somewhere. So what is it in my vibration that I need to shift to allow him to come into my life?
Well, can you feel how irritated you are that he's not here yet?
Yeah, it's like, where the hell are you?
You may have heard us say earlier that the perfect stance for the allowing of what you want in is a feeling of contentment and eagerness for more. Uh-huh. And so the symptoms or the evidence shows up in moments of discouragement or moments of frustration. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. In other words, you just need to lighten up. We would begin saying things like, all in good time, or the perfect one is coming, or mm-hmm. we are both in the process of evolving so that we'll be just right when we rendezvous. In other words, any words that soothe you. And some of all of that is happening. You've been launching desire all the days of your physical experience, and the universe knows exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But in your impatience, you're often not a vibrational match to what you're asking for. And so you say, finally, never mind the perfect one, just bring me one. Someone is better than no one. Only to discover
that it's not.
That isn't true at all. So, here is the way we would approach it. If you wanted something, and you knew where it was and how to get it, but the space just wasn't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the space is unfolding, and you know where to get it and how to get it. So the fact that you're not buying it and bringing it home today is not a big issue, because you know as things line up, you'll be able to do that. You don't feel discomfort about that. You almost feel eager anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for that is because you're not questioning. You know you've got the money. You've already found the item. You know the space is being provided for it. So you've figured out the how, where, who, what, when. Where often in this allowing the universe to yield to you what you're asking for, you don't know the how, where, who, what, when. And so you're sort of micromanaging when you're really wanting to delegate to the manager, and that's really the key for you. Mm-hmm. And also, we acknowledge that you are a very hands-on creator. You're used to making things happen. And in the physical realm, you've discovered how to do that. And it is a frustrating thing when you're good at making things happen relative to some things, and you don't seem so good at making things happen relative to other things. And we want you to hear this. You're not good at making things happen on any topic. You're just better at letting things happen on some topics than others. You get a sense
yeah.
of it?
Yeah, I understand.
So as you sort of begin thinking in terms of letting it be. So the words that stream out of you are all in good time. Mm-hmm. So the people that you've already confided in that know how much you're really wanting this, that also notice that you're not walking around with this person yet, say to you in very well-meaning, sometimes not so well-meaning, well, how's it going?
I know. And it's like, I'm still visualizing.
And so it feels like they're checking for progress that you don't have. And what you're wanting to do is to let them know that you know that the progress is there. In other words, things are lining up. And sometimes they'll push a little bit. Well, do you have any evidence? Tremendous evidence of things lining up. Well, like what?
Uh-huh.
Like, who have you been with? Who have you seen? And he said, oh, it's happening on very many deep levels. I can feel that it's coming. This feels just like a lot of other things in my life right before they opened. And it does, doesn't it?
Well, yes, now that you mention that.
These were our words as we began here today. We said, are you ready to say to us that fresh, new, exciting desire that you've launched that has not yet manifested, and you're all right with that? You have to be all right with it not manifesting before it can manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Some have said to us almost what you just said, but if I am too okay with it not happening, then doesn't that mean that it just won't happen? And we say, no, you're missing the point of allowing. When you get into that place of feeling good and allowing, all things that you're wanting then come into your experience. In other words, you cannot be in the place of appreciation. You cannot be in the predominant place of basking. And at the same time, hold yourself apart from the well-being that you're wanting. You can't do it, you see. Have you ever known anyone who fell in love and was so excited about their love affair that all of their other problems just went away? Things that had been plaguing them for years? Well, what happened? Well, their love affair got the majority of their attention. The majority of their attention was a locked-on receiving mode place. So they were influenced into allowing all of the things that they've been saying they want, you see. Yes.
Great. Thank you. This has to do with the daily tasks in life. And I live in a family with five people, three children. And yesterday my daughter and I were talking about redoing the contracts that each of the children have for doing the family chores. And she's the youngest. And as we went through each task, she said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And I said, well, do you think that any of us really want to do these things? And then she took a step back and said, well, I guess I'll do that one. And so in listening to you just now, I thought, okay.
And the perpetuation of limitation continues.
Here we're trying to learn to enjoy what we're doing and do the things that we enjoy.
Really? In other words, when you call something a task or a chore or an obligation or a responsibility, what is implied in that? You've said it
has to get done.
It has to get done, and nobody wants to do it.
Right.
And so I will joyously go forth and do this thing I do not want to do. Hard to line up your energy on that one, isn't it?
Right.
Don't you find that often, no matter what you're doing, when you are in a place of connection, that you find joy in it? Esther has been really enjoying spending so much time in the campgrounds, because while they are living really in a luxurious environment, in other words, their motor coach is hardly suffering in any way. There are a lot of people around them that are camping in all variety of conveyances. And as Jerry and Esther walk about, Esther's favorite part is the part of the campground where they're in tents and they've got bonfires and they're cooking. And what she consistently notices is that people have deliberately removed themselves from the conveniences of home in order to come out and sleep on the ground, in the cold or in the heat, in a tent, and cook on a table or out of the back of the car, and almost without exception, they are joyful in the process of it. And so we think that it isn't about what you're doing, it's about how you feel about what you're doing. We would like so much for you to reclaim the stance that you held as non-physical energy coming forth into this body. You really, 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 really want opportunity to focus. You want opportunity to apply yourself. You want opportunity to consider it and come up with a new idea and hone your skills around it and feel the clarity coming through. In other words, that's why children love learning so much. It's so fun to have a new idea, you see. And so if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would be looking for ways to reapply or imbue that spirit of adventure. But you cannot influence someone to a feeling of adventure about something that you don't want to do. And so, as you've decided that these are chores and that they are chores that have to be done, rather than that these are life-giving opportunities that make our life better, then we can see how you could pass that attitude on from generation to generation. Sometimes children will watch their mother do something, and if mother is doing it in joy, they want to do it too. Let me try. And there is such satisfaction in trying and succeeding and evolving and maybe even expanding and maybe even finding another way. Don't you find yourself always looking for a little better way, a little more efficient way, a little more fun way, a little more effective way, you see? We would realize that everything, no matter how mundane it may seem, has the distinct potential of evolving into something that is more satisfying. Mm-hmm. And we would, as we are reassigning opportunities, we would be looking for more fun ways to go about them or more different ways to go about them. In other words, tell us about the chores. What were some of them?
Doing the dishes, cleaning the bathroom, taking out the recycling, cleaning the floor.
And what was the most hated task? How do you feel about those things?
I don't mind doing any of them.
Yes?
But I don't want to do all of them, and I want my children to be able to do all of them also.
What is it that you hope to evoke from your children? Willingness, capability, a desire to persevere, a willingness to do the uncomfortable thing long enough so that it will become comfortable. In other words, what is it that you're wanting to teach your children? Do you really want to teach your children that everybody has to do stuff they don't want to do?
No. That's why I came to ask this question.
And so what you're wanting to do is find a way of evoking cooperation toward a common goal.
Correct.
In other words, very often, as you stand in this place, it's like saying, well, I want to go on vacation, and there are these lovely things that I want to experience, but I've got this long flight, or I've got this long drive, and it is sort of this drudgery on this way to something pleasant, mm-hmm. and so it's a sort of toss-up. Do I even want to take the drive, or do I even want to take the flight? Is the payoff really worth it? And we do not believe that you can ever have an uncomfortable journey on the way to a happy ending.
To learn more about Abraham, visit hayhouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.
Thanks for listening to HayHouseRadio.com.
The following is excerpted from Doreen Virtue's Healing with the Angels CD.
Among the angels, the Archangel Raphael is the supreme angelic healer. For physical challenges such as illness or pain, there is no better healer among the angelic realm than the Archangel Raphael. This angel, whose name means God heals, can bring instant release from suffering. Raphael glows with a beautiful emerald green healing energy. Often, Raphael surrounds painful body parts with this healing light. The light acts as a soothing balm and as a trigger for sudden and complete healings. Raphael, like all of the inhabitants of the spirit world, can be with everyone who calls upon him simultaneously. Limitations of time or space do not restrict him. So never fear that you are interfering with Raphael's other duties when you call upon him. The healing archangel comes to your side the instant you ask for him. You can call him by thinking or saying aloud, "Raphael, please help me." And Raphael will also join the side of your loved ones at your request. Raphael is a powerful healer who acts like a spiritual surgeon in releasing fear and darkness from our body and mind. Sometimes, however, we call upon Raphael and then we get in the way of his healing function. For instance, we don't allow him access to our guilty secrets so that he cannot extract them from us. Consequently, after you call upon Raphael, it's best to give him full access to your body, mind, and heart. In this way, he can fulfill his God-given function to heal everything completely.
That was Doreen Virtue in this HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment.
Here's the number one thing that you can do to keep passion alive in long-term relationships. One or both people needs to make a big commitment to learning.
Relationship counselors Drs. Gay and Kathleen Hendricks show you how to have healthy, fulfilling relationships in every area of your life during Spirit-Centered Relationships.
And it's possible to create that brand newness in every moment.
Thursdays on HayHouseRadio.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, the network director of HayHouseRadio.com, and my goal has been to offer you a different kind of talk radio, to give you shows to make you feel good, feel inspired, and give you tools to live a better life. We share your pursuit of self-empowerment and self-development here, whether you want to enhance your spirituality or discover new perspectives about life. So thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm Summer McStravick. For 2 years, I've been talking about the secret of manifesting and the powerful method I found for getting into this energy. I've recorded this technique onto a series of CDs to help you develop your skills working with the flow so you too can manifest anything in your life that you want. Just go to flowdreaming.com to learn more. Flowdreaming.com.
See Doreen Virtue live in a city near you in her new Daily Guidance from Your Angels 2007 tour. This workshop is designed to help you stay centered and peaceful throughout the day and to remember that your angels are always beside you, ready to help you with every area of your life. Plus, you'll get to meet Doreen in person and may also be chosen for a live angel reading. Call now 800-654-5126 or visit www.angeltherapy.com.
Is coffee really a health risk? Can you experience the best sex of your life after menopause? Will vitamin D help you lose weight? Discover the latest advice on all the hottest health topics in the Dr. Christiane Northrup newsletter. Today's leading women's health expert, Dr. Christiane Northrup, has the answers you need in the pages of this bi-monthly newsletter. Subscribe now and receive a free CD. Visit drnorthrup.com.
I'm Louise Hay, and here's a thought for the day. Develop a feeling of gratitude for every experience you have. Learn to find joy in each and every moment. Thanks for listening to HayHouseRadio.com.